Every family has their own journey to college, but what if getting there didn't have to be so stressful?
Honestly, I just wanted to know we weren't missing anything. Deadlines, forms, financial aid. Fast Start to College gave me a plan and peace of mind.
I liked that it wasn't just for my son. It was for us too. The videos were clear, the timelines made sense, and no pressure to figure it all out alone.
Okay, but the best part? I actually got excited about college. The worksheets helped me figure out what I want, not just where I should go.
And we didn't argue about college visits for once.
Let's not jinx it.
I've got a college list that actually feels like me. And I didn't have to spend hours lost in Google rabbit holes.
Whether you're just starting or feeling behind, Fast Start to College meets you where you are, with expert guidance, real tools, and less stress for everyone.
We only wish we found it sooner.
Get started today at faststarttocollege.com. College is coming. Be ready for it.
You're listening to Real Without Religion with James Kiger, a podcast for spiritual seekers, ex-Christians, and anyone who's done with fear-based faith but still believes in something more. We're not here to argue. We're here to awaken. No guilt, no shame, no dogma. Just real talk, real truth, and real freedom. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hey friends, welcome back. Today we're talking about a word, just one, but it's a big one, God. Now don't panic. We're not about to get all theological. We're going to be honest about what that word brings up and maybe ask if there's a better way to say what we really mean. Because here's the thing, you can tell a lot about someone just by how they say God. Some folks say it like a southern preacher, God, full of fire, sweat, and altar calls. Others say it like Shakespeare, God grant thee mercy, regal, poetic, slightly haunted. Or maybe it's, oh my God, said casually over a casserole in the Midwest. Some of us whisper it, some of us avoid it altogether, because it's not just a word, it's loaded, it's layered, it carries years of meaning, years of memory and mood. And that's what I want to talk about. What happens when we say God? What are we actually pointing to? Is there a freer way to name or not name what we're trying to connect with? But let's be real. The word God is not neutral. You say it, and your brain immediately lights up with images, with reactions that you didn't even choose. You might picture a throne, a beard, a cloud. You might feel comfort, or you might feel fear. You might hear a hymn or a threat. But however it lands, here's the truth. You inherited that image. It was handed to you before you ever had a say in what the divine felt like. And for me, as I begin to grow and study, the word started feeling too small. Not wrong now, just too shaped by doctrine to let me experience anything new. It felt like I was reacting to religion and not relating to spirit. It's like trying to fit the ocean into a teacup and wondering why you're still thirsty. So what do we do when a word we use and we used to lean on it now feels so heavy? Well, some of us have started using different ones. Source, the universe, spirit, life. Now, they're not perfect, but sometimes they help us to breathe again, because when I say source, I don't picture a guy in the sky. I feel movement. I feel something flowing through me, not judging me from a distance, not waiting for me with a big picture screen of all the sins that I've ever committed. Source doesn't demand worship. That word invites relationship. And that's a huge shift, because for so many of us, God was presented as a being that was out there somewhere, or actually up there, watching, taking notes, measuring, grading, ready to smite me. But source, that feels close, maybe present, even kind. And look, I'm not saying you have to use a different word. I'm just saying if God feels more like baggage than a bridge to your spirit, then it's okay to set it down. Doesn't mean you're being rebellious. You're not a backslider. Ichabod shouldn't be written over the doors of your house. You're just being honest. And honestly, that's way more spiritual than just repeating a word that no longer fits. Now, some traditions won't even say a name at all, because they know the second you label it, you limit it. And they're right. We really don't know what we're talking to. We don't know what this energy, this presence, this something is, but really we can feel it, and that's enough. But let's go a bit deeper. Even Jesus didn't say God was a guy. He said God is spirit. Not a man, not an image, not a sky-dwelling ruler. And somewhere along the way, though, spirit turns into a character. I know. He uses the word father. Well, that's what was translated in that culture. You know, a male god with opinions, punishment, and a long memory for sin. And that's kind of when things got weird, because if Jesus is God, then who was he praying to? And when he said, not my will, but yours be done, was that Jesus talking to himself? I know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And if God sent Jesus to die for our sins, are we saying that God killed himself? And if so, did God die? And then if not, then who exactly was sacrificed? I know Jesus was fully man and fully God. I get all the ways we try to explain this. And I know this has been explained to be a mystery. But honestly, that doesn't feel like a mystery. It's like theological gymnastics. And asking these questions wasn't allowed, and I'm very happy that it can be done now. You know, you couldn't ask these questions because that was like doubt or rebellion. But honestly, maybe it's not rebellion. Maybe it's just discernment. Because when you strip away all the doctrine, you find a man named Jesus who never told people to worship him. He told them to wake up. He didn't say, memorize my miracles. He said, greater works than these you will do. I truly believe Jesus wasn't trying to build a religion. He was trying to help people remember who they were and what they already carried inside of them. And when he talked about God, he didn't describe a being with a title and a temper. He described something flowing, something shared, something within. Now here's another layer to it. Have you ever wondered why God is always described as Father? Was that God's decision or man's? Now, let's be honest. The Bible was written in a time when men controlled almost everything. Homes, governments, religions, language. So when people tried to describe the highest authority they could imagine, what did they choose? Father. Not spirit. Not mystery. Not source. Not beloved energy, just father, authority figure, ruler of the house. And honestly, that made sense at the time, but does that still work for you? Are we really saying that the infinite force behind all life, stars, oceans, atoms, galaxies, only revealed itself 2,000 years ago through one language to one culture? Through a masculine filter? I mean, that's like saying love only counts if it's written in English. But maybe father was the best they could do at the time. But we're not stuck there. You're allowed to evolve the metaphor. You're allowed to choose something that's wider, softer, truer to you. Because the divine isn't bound by our old language, and neither are you. So here's something you can try, if you wish. For the next 7 days, set the word God down. Just put it on the shelf for a bit. That won't upset him. He won't be ready to smitey smiterton you. But just try saying maybe source. Or love. Or no word at all. And if you pray, pray to what feels right. What feels real. If you don't want to pray, write a letter. Speak from the gut. But don't use your church voice. Oh, God. Just talk. And see what happens. Because when I stopped trying to force the word God to fit, it just felt like something opened up. It was flowing. It was freeing. You know, I didn't feel less connected. I felt more because I wasn't trying to make something make sense that no longer did. I was just being honest. There's a quote I love from Kierkegaard. He says, "Once you label me, you negate me." And that's true for people. And I think it's true for the divine too. So maybe, just maybe, the most spiritual thing you can do this week is just let the mystery be mystery. Let your language evolve with your experience. And don't apologize for it. Because you know what's wild? I used to sing songs that actually felt true, and I still love these songs to this day. Here's one we used to sing. How big is God? How big and wide his vast domain? And then it goes, he's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but yet he's small enough to live within my heart. I love that, honestly, because that's the kind of love I believe in. One that's expansive and intimate and present. And honestly, my favorite hymn to this day is How Great Thou Art. You know, it's about wonder. But let's be honest, the God in those songs doesn't seem to be the same God who was throwing tantrums in the Old Testament. That doesn't feel like the same God who demanded blood or threatened fire from the sky. Somewhere along the line, it seems like we inherited two very different versions of the same word. One was comforting and awe-inspiring. The other was petty and terrifying. So I have to ask why. Now, and please don't hit me with the, I worship God, not the universe line. Okay, yes. We know God created the universe. Got it. You know, thank you, Captain Obvious. But what if the whole setup, God over here, universe over there, is still too small? What if it's all one? What if the universe is the face of God in motion? And what if we really stopped fighting over the name and started paying attention to the experience? And you'll say, well, James, you're the only one that keeps bringing it up. I know, because there are people that the word God carries such baggage with. I want them to feel free. If it doesn't for you, fine. You know, maybe the God we're trying to reach through song and prayer was never the angry one at all. And remember, you don't have to lose your connection with source just because you lost the word or changed the word. You don't have to say God for something sacred to hear you. And you do not have to not say God. You don't have to explain it. You don't need permission. Because the sacred doesn't live in a word, it lives in you. So stay curious, friends. Stay honest and let your language reflect your freedom and not your fear. To all of you, have a wonderful week. Namaste.
Thanks for joining us on Real Without Religion. If this stirred something deep within you, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who's ready to wake up. You don't have to go back to the box. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to be willing to be real and trust what's already inside you. Until next time, stay curious, stay grounded, and stay real.
Our nephew is applying to college. Larry's helping.
They don't even need college these days. Just start a hot sauce company.
Yeah, don't let Uncle Larry be the college coach. Fast Start to College gives real families real tools that actually work. Help someone you care about. Skip the bad advice. Visit FastStartToCollege.com. Proud sponsor of the Real Without Religion podcast.